This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. Two faculty members from the A-State Music Department are in the midst of a major undertaking, performing all 10 of Beethoven's sonatas for piano and violin in concert. KASU's Marty Scarborough recently spoke with pianist Dr. Lauren Schack-Clark and violinist Dr. Shiyoung Song. Marty first asked them to explain what a sonata is.
Okay, so a sonata is a piece of music often having more than one movement. And in the case of these Beethoven sonatas, they have either three or four movements. And a movement is just a piece within a larger piece. And the different movements may have different characters. Oftentimes in Beethoven, if there are three movements, it goes fast, slow, fast. And in the case of Beethoven also, there are certain unifying themes that, even though the movements may not sound that similar, there are certain unifying factors that he employs to make that all work as a unified whole.
Is there anything specific about the instrumentation that makes a sonata a sonata?
Well, a sonata can be for a solo instrument, like Beethoven wrote 32 sonatas for solo piano. But he also wrote these 10 for piano and violin, and he also wrote 5 for cello and piano, or piano and cello, I guess we should say, and there's one for horn and piano and so forth. But the instrumentation is usually one or two people.
Well, I guess the next question is why? Why undertake a project like this to have a series of concerts performing all of the Beethoven sonatas for violin and piano?
I think it was, I am the guilty one here. I suggested the project to Dr. Clark, I believe over the summer, right?
Yeah.
One of my mentors from Boston, Jan Swafford, came out with Beethoven biography a few years ago. And he's been doing tours. He's been giving lectures, pre-concert lectures with orchestras. And I was, you know, reading his Beethoven biography, and I briefly mentioned to Dr. Clark that wouldn't it be nice if we can actually do all 10 sonatas? And if a piano colleague of yours comes to you and says, yes, let's do it, then you just say no. No, you don't say no. That's what I meant to say. Sorry.
So it's a pretty challenging project. How is preparing for something like this different than, say, you might be preparing for a different type of recital? What kind of work goes into getting ready to do 10 sonatas over the course of a month?
Well, it's a lot of practicing and pacing. Mm-hmm. You have to figure out how exactly, because it's probably maybe 5 hours of music altogether, and wow, it's quite tricky music. Mm-hmm. So I had played six of the 10 before, but even so, some of them have been decades ago when I was a student or something like that, and it's been a while. So pacing is important. We started rehearsing together during Christmas break, and so we've been working on this quite a while.
Right. My guests are Dr. Lauren Schack-Clark and Dr. Chiyoung Song. They're going to be performing a series of concerts at which they will play every one of Beethoven's 10 sonatas for violin and piano. Well, let's talk a little bit about how the two of you as musicians collaborate in these particular works. A sonata like this isn't the piano accompanying the violin or the violin accompanying the piano, but it's a very, I would assume, collaborative kind of process. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things you had to keep in mind working together to be able to play a work like one of Beethoven's sonatas?
For me personally, I noticed that the first few sonatas were, in fact, the violin is very much under the piano in terms of its role. So piano, I always see myself as like an obbligato figure underneath the piano or above the piano. But there was a time where violin bows changed its shape and its structure drastically during the classical era. And Beethoven was certainly aware of that. So from sonata number 5, which is known as Spring Sonata, and on, that's when he was really exposed to that new type of bow, hence the sound palette, I guess. And that's when you start to see violin being almost equal to the piano. So in terms of that, I'm trying to, like you said, it's collaboration, but mm-hmm. also that's not just being equal, right? That's also knowing when to back down a little bit, when to take charge. Yeah.
Anything you'd like to add in terms of the collaboration that the two of you are doing together?
Sure. I think that it's interesting to see how, as Dr. Song said, how Beethoven developed his writing, especially for the violin part. He already knew how to write for the piano really well because he was a pianist and he'd done that quite a lot already. But as far as just our working together, first of all, Dr. Song is a great colleague. And so we just have a good time learning this music and practicing it together. And we've been meeting at least once a week. And so that's just a joy. And it's a joy to work on this music because it's just really fulfilling to play. Even though it's difficult, I find that even if I'm having a bad day, I can practice one of these pieces and it kind of makes me feel better.
Well, I want to ask each of you, out of the 10, do you have a favorite? A particular one that to you personally brings you some kind of joy or enjoyment?
Yeah, I don't know that I have a favorite. I think I'm going to answer that question for you after I've played them all. We'll see how I feel after that.
Well, are there any that feel they say, this is the easy one out of the 10 and doesn't require as much preparation? Then, this one is one I'm dreading to have to play, this particular one.
Well, I don't think there's an easy one, but there is the one probably the most challenging for the violin, which is number 9.
Yeah, correct.
And it's also the longest. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the hardest one, but at least that's on the last concert, so we have a little time before that one.
I know some pieces of classical music have worked their way into popular culture where people may have heard them before, but perhaps didn't know the name of it. I think, for example, the Delta Symphony Orchestra recently performed Carmina Burana, a work that people may not know its name, but, I've heard that before. Mm-hmm. Are there any familiar melodies within any of these sonatas that have been explored in other pieces of music or used in ways that people might recognize those melodies?
I think the beginning of Fifth Sonata, titled Spring Sonata, I think the beginning theme is something that's familiar to many people. As far as other composers go, Beethoven was such a figure who was inspiration for generations to come, even to contemporary composers. So I see a lot of quotes that Mendelssohn used later on from his violin sonatas. And Beethoven himself actually, I think, used a lot of motives from Mozart. So I think it's everybody is really connected. I think these 10 sonatas have something for everybody. There are tunes that's very recognizable. There are tunes that will stay with you for a really long time after the concert. Yeah.
Is accessible an appropriate word to say that for someone that's, thinking about, a piece of classical, it's something that would be easily engaging to someone to come and hear one of Beethoven's sonatas for violin and piano if they've not heard it before?
Yes, definitely. And in fact, some of them were written in response to the fact that in his day, some people were saying, he writes all that really heady, kind of serious, dark music. It's so somber. And then he wrote some of them are somber, I will say, but the ones that are in minor keys are fast and exciting, so that helps with that. And then we have lyrical moments, but then he wrote some of them to be especially enjoyable for the public.
Well, that kind of touches on something else I wanted to ask you about, just in terms of Beethoven as a man, as a composer. Are there any misconceptions or things people maybe don't realize about Beethoven the composer? I mean, you think about classical composers, if you asked a man on the street to name a classical composer, probably Beethoven would be one of the first two or three that would come to mind, but people may not know that much about him. Are there misconceptions? Are there things people need to know about Beethoven?
I think that I've been reading a lot about him lately, and one thing that I guess I didn't really realize, of course, we all know that he suffered with his decrease in hearing and until he was finally deaf and still continued composing music. But also, he really was ill a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. If you read his letters, he's always talking about, for one thing, he probably had typhus and certain other diseases. We don't exactly know. He had just a lot of things going on. So it's amazing that he persevered and was so active, both as a composer and performer, despite feeling so poorly all the time.
I was very surprised to learn that. So before Beethoven's time, a lot of composers mostly wrote pieces to, let's say, appease their employers, appease the audience for a certain goal. Whereas Beethoven, I realized, he had this enormous freedom financially and in terms of his placement within the social structure. He had a lot of freedom to just write whatever he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was not aware of. For some reason, I pictured Beethoven to be that stereotypical musician who's always really hungry, you know, running out of money. But no, he had immense success. And when he died, and we're talking about like before telephone or anything, I mean, no Facebook, certainly. And when he died, his funeral was apparently attended by more than 10,000 people.
Wow.
And that's something that is really to show you how much of an influence he was and how successful he was despite his, I guess, personal drama, you know, mm-hmm. going deaf and, yeah, illness.
Yeah. My guests are Dr. Lauren Shack Clark and Dr. Chi-Young Song. They're both professors in the Department of Music here at Arkansas State University, and they're performing a series of four concerts at which they'll perform all of Beethoven's 10 sonatas for violin and piano. One thing I have to ask you, you're doing this in Riceland Hall of the mm-hmm. Fowler Center. Beautiful space. It sounds beautiful in there, but yet it's simply going to be the two of you mm-hmm. on stage in this huge space. What thoughts do you go through your mind in thinking about, okay, I'm playing to this hall that would seat 1,000 people. It's just simply the two of us unamplified together here on stage. What kind of preparation goes into taking those factors into account when you perform music like this?
Well, first of all, we're pretty used to playing in Riceland Hall because we do
true.
It pretty frequently. And so it's helpful to – but we are going to rehearse in there, of course, mm-hmm. some more. And it's helpful to have somebody listen to us there to see how the balance is and things like that. There are certain things you can't tell from the stage mm-hmm. in such a big room like that. And sometimes articulations are a little bit different than when you play in a small room. But it's such a wonderful acoustic in there, and the piano is so awesome. So we're right. really looking forward to that.
Yeah, and I am working on projection, not in terms of volume, but expressiveness, the different degree of expression. I think that translates a lot better in halls like that. It's such a big and beautiful hall. I am quite used to playing in it, except for I'm still not used to having to walk that far.
It's a long way to walk on stage.
It's a very long way.
I always hope I won't trip on the floor or something.
That's the scariest part of the whole concert.
Yes, that's right.
Well, my last question to each of you is, okay, people are going to have four opportunities to hear at least two, if not three, of these sonatas performed.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to encourage someone to come and experience these wonderful works by Beethoven?
Well, I just think that it's a unique experience. I have lived here for 16 years and nobody has done this before. So I don't know, maybe somebody did it before I came here, but not that I know of. And it's not done very much. And we plan to talk a little bit about the pieces so that people can learn a little bit. And I just think they're great pieces of music. And I'm not usually one who promotes all of concerts, all of one composer, but this is one that works. You know, if you're going to mm-hmm. do an all of concert, Beethoven is one of the few composers with which you can do that. So.
For me personally, it's been a really great journey in terms of seeing him as a human. I think all musicians do that, see composers as this being instead of a human being who actually once lived on this planet. And working on his sonatas really humanized him to me personally. And I hope the audience members can experience the greatness of Beethoven's music, of course. But after all, he was just like, you know, all of us who lived and wrote music. Mm. And there is something incredibly human about his music.
Violinist Dr. Chi-Young Song is an assistant professor of music at Arkansas State, and pianist Dr. Lauren Shack Clark is a professor of music at A-State. Together, they're in the midst of performing in concert all 10 of Beethoven's sonatas for piano and violin. The next of these four concerts will be this Monday night, March 11th at 7:30 in Riceland Hall of the Fowler Center in Jonesboro. These two musicians will also perform selected sonatas at Amro Music in Memphis 1 week from today, March 16th at 2 p.m. The final in the series of concerts will be Monday, March 25th at 7:30 in Riceland Hall. Performances are free, and it's open to the public. For A-State Connections, I'm Jonathan Reeves.